Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They're doing it so much they sometimes get caught. They keep getting caught and they keep giving the same excuse. They have no respect for your intelligence, by the way. I just want everyone to know. They have no respect for your intelligence. For Belichick to say this and for them to use the same playbook, the Patriots bring out the same excuse that was reported. Here's their excuse and they're just running the same play. And then Belichick says, no, we don't run that play anymore. Dude, you just ran the play. We just saw it. You just said it. It's absurd.
No respect for your intelligence.
Because he's smarter. Intelligence.
He's smarter than you. You were not,
you know,
that
what?
Bright.
No, that's, I want good. You to do this for no me, okay? Good. I usually never tell you which calls to take.
Yes, you
I never
do, you
do
all
that.
The time.
I never do it. Give me number five. I feel like there could be some.
Number five. Okay.
Yes, Eddie.
Okay. Here's
in the car.
Eddie in a car. Eddie, go ahead.
Five. Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Hello, hello.
Who gives a rat's you know what the fans say anymore about the Patriots? Yeah, you know, it's like asking Trump supporters to see things the other way. It's never, ever going to happen. So you know what? This team has been overpunished the last couple of times they've gotten in trouble. The league needs to come out and say, listen, we give this team hammer, they get hammered every time they mess up. They did nothing wrong.
Why are you worried about what the league's? What are you worried about the
image? No,
you
know, I won't let them get to it because it's. I'm going to say it for you, Eddie. Screw the fans, okay? We'll get to the fans later.
Exactly.
Thank you, Kyle Van Noy. No, but what it says here is the league needs to come out and let it just live on.
Take it away,
without
Kamish.
Any sort of just closure to it.
I think
here's what happened. We did an investigation. There's nothing to see
right.
here.
I think they're going to do that, and I think they'll do that by Friday. How's that? Before this game on Sunday. And they'll come out and say, we believe that it was a TV crew that did it, but they did violate the rules. So they
unintentionally.
Right.
But we got to find. We got to punish them anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I think happens in all of this.
So do you expect, let's see. So I think, what was it? What's the guy's name? Troy Vincent?
Yeah.
So the meeting's over Wednesday, and they expect to look into it more when they come back to New York right. on Wednesday. So Friday.
You don't want to keep this going.
5:30 Friday?
Oh, that would be convenient time to drop it, wouldn't it be?
I mean,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, why not?
5:30? We
why
put into it. We spent all week.
Why not?
And then you'll clear it before the weekend.
And then you'll
There's
forget about
to see
it
here.
3 hours later because you'll be sitting there watching the greatest 100 players in the history of the game, right? So you'll get back to
That's
real
right.
positivity
yeah.
again with the NFL.
This is Troy Vincent, actually, yeah. talking about it, I think, earlier today.
I'm gathering facts. I'm not in the right position to make a comment on what's believable, what's not. As we get the detail, our security reports back, we'll evaluate it, and then we'll make a decision based off the facts that we've gathered.
Any sense for how long the process is likely to be?
We want to take our time.
Of course
and
you
we
do.
We just want to just make sure that all the facts are out there that we have, and then we'll make, we believe that we'll come up with the right decision.
Okay.
So I don't want to put a time limit.
No, you
on.
Don't.
But
so here's the problem.
Friday about 5:36 would be a good time.
Okay, so here's the problem I have with Eddie's call, where he says, who cares about the public perception or whatever? The league does. Everything the league does is based on public perception because they're trying to satisfy fans in 32 cities. They don't give a rat's ass about you in New England, Eddie. They care about the fans in the 31 other cities. That's what they care about. And so it's huge. We all sat here and watched Deflategate and said, there is absolutely no way they're going to do anything to the New England Patriots. And then they gave Tom Brady a 4-game suspension and slapped him with all sorts of stuff. Why? Because that's what America wanted. And so it is a problem. The perception is a problem. And that's the reason we all know this is a bunch of bull, this story, and yet it really doesn't matter. Because the public is going to look
it
at
again.
It. It doesn't really matter.
I
the
do,
public is going to look at it and
but
you
well, see,
they
it's different.
Say
hold
they
on.
Cheated.
No, here's the thing. They need,
it's not different.
They got to get something to sink their teeth into. There was plenty to sink your teeth into in Deflategate, you know, if you didn't follow it all the way through. I mean, there really was. I mean, Tom destroyed his phone. It's an act of a guilty man. I don't need to hear another word.
You can destroy
I don't need
his
to
phone.
Hear another word.
You don't have to give that
man
your
had
phone.
It, Glenn, I'm just telling you that this was this, quite frankly, that's probably the most guilty thing of the whole thing, if you ask me as
I disagree. Spygate was the most guilty.
Can we please not go back?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying he destroyed his phone. You got some guy who's talking, calls himself the deflator.
Right.
Because he wants to lose weight.
What's wrong with that?
He disappeared for two minutes. No, I'm just saying there was stuff there to sink your teeth into.
There was also a lot of stuff that negated everything they came up with. Well,
the thing
Science negated it.
I'm not asking you to defend Deflategate, okay? I understand. I'm telling you that the people right now, what are they sinking their teeth in to this story?
You're hearing all these people. Were you listening?
I know.
Are you paying attention to them?
When the video does come out, I don't know, whatever, if there is a video, like, I don't think that there's enough there. This is the reaction, hearing that the Patriots have done something wrong again.
You are so naive. No, if you think that the video comes out and Rob Parker, yeah, and Max Kellerman and these national people are going to change their mind, you're naive.
They have no respect for your intelligence.
Exactly. They don't care, Lou. And that's what the commissioner's thinking about.
They have no clue what happened. They're just giving you a reaction of the Patriots getting caught again. And it's a strong reaction because it's been sort of, you know, lying dormant inside of them for some time. Can't wait for another opportunity. That's what you're hearing now.
Yep.
So they're going to show a video of this. And if it is, we don't know what the hell it is. I guess now we know less about what it is. But if it's only a few minutes of them looking at a coach and that's it, there's just not much there.
Lou, if
there's not going to be much there. Like there was in Deflategate. Certainly not like there was in Spygate.
I disagree. They will find a way of looking at it. So let's say there's a whole quarter and the camera is fixated on the sideline. Even though there's no real attempt to try to get signals, we've already pointed out, thanks to Matt Chatham, you really can't do that anymore. All right, the game's changed. But they're going to show that if they do. And these same people are going to sit there and say, the league's lying. I don't care what the league is telling you. The league is lying. They cheated.
So they don't know that.
So here's what I think. So I agree with the last caller who said the league needs to come out and they need to go ahead and say there's nothing to see here. We don't care about the rumors. We looked at everything. We took our time and there's nothing there. Because I always feel like we need some sort of rebuttal. We need to say John Tomasi made up that story. That wasn't even true. It's something to throw back in their face. Right, so when the critics and all the people carrying the torches and the pitchforks come out and start chanting and looking for death, we could say, well, you know, the league did look at it. Troy Vincent did come out, and Troy Vincent hates the Patriots, and they said there was nothing there whatsoever. You need to have that sort of ammunition.
But the commissioner has always shown that he has gone on the side of public opinion.
Exactly why it gives you power.
It's not a court of law.
I know, but
it's not right or wrong.
It gives you a
chip. How do we protect the business?
Okay, so fine. So if everybody knows that the league is gonna go with the flow, okay, then having that bit of information, I think, is power.
Mm-hmm.
It's at least it's a volley. Serve volley, and then maybe you get out of the way.
Yep.
But at least you have a return.
So, and suppose the league is very vague in the way they do it, and they
can't be vague.
We believe that they were filming a TV documentary because it's very hard for us to try to match that up with actual game scouting film. But they were doing it with a scout. Don't be surprised if the league does that, because the league is concerned about the image out there. They only care about the image. They don't care about New England and New England's image. They care about the National Football League's image. Guys, we've seen this before. That's what Deflategate was all about. Mike is in a truck. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good. Glenn, Lou, Chris, great
Jen.
Job. Listen to you for a long time. Christian,
yo.
Great job with your fundraiser, man.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
It was amazing what you did. Shout out to Dakota, too. That was an amazing
Yeah,
sure
was.
Dakota
came
up big. I've known him a long time, and he's a great guy.
He is a good guy.
Spent eight hours on the radio, too.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a good kid. Good kid. Smart guy. Anyhow, I'll make it short. Do you think this is going to blow up nationally if they don't come out with the decision until after the game and the Patriots hang 45-50 on this team? And try to amplify it and make the public perception worse.
I'm not sure they're capable of hanging 45 on
anybody. So you're saying if they blow out the Bengals, it looks even worse?
Right?
Well, I mean, it's still the Bengals.
I want an investigation.
I'm just it's still the Bengals.
You know what I mean? They'll say, well, they had the tapes, they had this, they had that. They must have.
Yeah, but Mike, my point is that it's still the Bengals. Like if they were accused of doing this to the Chiefs. And they beat the Chiefs 45-3. then people would be going crazy.
Yeah.
But we're going to go, people are going to go nuts because the Patriots beat the Cincinnati Bengals and say, aha. I mean, they might sit Julian Edelman just to try to make it somewhat of a close game. I don't see you get that kind of reaction.
Yeah, I don't see 45 up there. Maybe 25.
Well, no, I definitely. You know, unless the 45. Defense puts up three or four
right,
touchdowns.
Exactly.
Four block
special
punts.
Teams gets two more
yeah,
of them.
Yeah.
Josh is in Northbridge. What's up, Josh?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Just wanted to go over the narrative and also you know how things have changed. So the original report said that they were filming the field and the sideline, and now the whole field is now knocked off, where they're only talking about the sideline, and that's kind of important to think about because with the backdrop of them saying that it's for scouting. Belichick still uses Steve Belichick's forms there, which gives them 14 seconds or so to be able to write down what the offense is, how they're lined up, where they're strong, where they're weak, et cetera, as well as the defense, right? So the guy's not going to be standing in front of a camera telling him what he's seeing on the field. He's going to be doing a voiceover in post-production. So the narrative changed to 8 minutes of filming, and everybody's like, well, that's damning. 8 minutes, how could they do that? Well, some of the things that I've done in my past, I've taken 3 hours of filming and had to condense that down to 30 minutes of actual footage that we could use because of camera shaking, maybe a blurred picture, or maybe they're really trying to isolate on something. So the narrative has now changed from being filmed on the field and the sideline, and now it's to the length because they're trying to find anything that they can to try to make it look a little bit more vilified, if you will, as far as what the Patriots have done.
Okay.
I'm not sure I totally understand. I think it probably was the sideline and the field and contained. It was done from the press box.
I don't
box.
Know if the narrative is changing. I think more information is getting out. That's all. Nobody knows what the hell is going on.
Right.
It is. But if you say, like, so they're saying 8 minutes of filming the field.
No, I don't believe that's true.
They must have been cheating.
I don't believe that. I don't believe the 8 minutes is true.
Yeah, and Josh, we talked about that, too.
At least a whole quarter.
You probably would get, 10 minutes.
Even if it was the whole game.
10 minutes of B-roll for...
Exactly. That's 10, what I'm saying. Exactly.
Well, we know it wasn't the whole game.
Of a clip, just to find that one clip you might use.
Exactly. So the point of how long it was that they filmed is just something else that they're trying to do to make it seem even worse than, because they're trying to push it to make it look as bad as they can for the Patriots. If you notice now, nationally, they no longer talk about anything being filmed on the field. They're only talking about filming the sideline. And as Chatham said, and you guys said, eloquently pointed out, what are you going to see? Some guy talking to a microphone holding a play sheet over his face?
This is true, but is that legal?
No, it's not.
Why is
not
it illegal?
That's their problem.
I'm not saying that they did
it. But the whole thing is, I get the whole Chatham defense, and it's like, I get it, but it's not legal. So let me ask the next question.
Bill told us that.
Why is it not legal? Well, I mean, does it really matter? It's not legal. So I hate that defense. And the video, sure, listen, if the Judy Batista is saying that they've looked at it now and it's nothing, then it's nothing. Then I still think they'll get a fine,
yeah, but
just to kind of give them a slap in the wrist and be like, smarten up, idiots.
Okay, but let me ask you this. If the NFL comes out on Friday and they say, listen, it was more likely than not, it was a TV documentary because there wasn't enough evidence there to really tie it in to a scouting tape, all right? More likely than not. And so, therefore, we're going to slap the Patriots on the wrist because they did violate the rule. You cannot tape during a game from the press box, and they were doing it illegally, so therefore we're going to fine them. Does anybody really believe that people aren't going to sit there and talk about the Patriots?
Who cares?
You're going to spend the next 2 or 3 weeks with people sitting there going, the league's letting them off the hook here.
Who
cares? They cheated. They did.
I mean, I think the league has enough credibility to sit there and say, really? We went to court with Tom Brady for an entire year. We spent millions to go after the greatest quarterback of all time in that organization. Really? Like, what, oh, we let him off all the time? Is that, I mean,
yeah, but
now
no,
you can sit there and say, well, Robert Kraft, what happened to him? But, that's maybe let him off there. I have no clue. They didn't suspend him for anything. But, I mean, they just, 2 years ago, they just took the greatest quarterback of all time to how many different court levels?
Yeah.
How many different appeals and it lasted how long? They go after the Patriots. Don't worry about it.
Embarrassment.
I don't really. People should not be worried about
it. Total embarrassment.
People, they let him off the hook. Yeah, great. Whatever.
Yeah, third district.
I'm worried about
freaking
getting Nikhil Harry involved in this offense.
Okay.
Not whether people are pissed off whether they went after him hard enough.
Well, you're going to get it.
Well, good.
There's no question you're going to get it. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number right here in OMF. By the way, did you catch last night Nick Saban and Bill Belichick's little love fest? Some interesting stuff there, especially about Bill talking about last year's team. We'll get into some of that coming up in the next segment as well. More of your phone calls next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back with more Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, so what? So I bet if we just give us a few minutes, Kenny, just so we can kind of get caught up here.
All right, let's cut the cameras up.
Yeah, so why don't you just give us a few minutes privately? All right.
You want us out of here?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
No one ignores Coach Belichick. But as the crew left Nick Saban's office, one unmanned backup camera remained on.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
It was a hell of a damn year.
Yeah.
We played played your ass off on defense in that last game.
It's the last third of the season we played good. We were shitty for two-thirds of the year, but then it kind of came together.
Bill Belichick last night on that documentary on HBO with Nick Saban. By the way, does anybody really believe that he tells the Ken Rogers, the producer,
yeah, everybody,
he said, everybody leave, everybody go. They leave all the cameras and the microphones on or whatever. And I'm sure the crew came back in, and Rogers probably said to him, hey, guys, this stuff is too good. We got to keep this stuff in there.
I thought it was a violation of privacy. I'm like, oh, really? He politely asks everybody to leave, all the cameras, everybody get the hell out. We want to have a private conversation, get caught up. And the guy's like, but we secretly left a camera in the corner on to catch their talk.
See, I believe
we should do that with Bill.
Unmanned backup camera remained on.
We should do that with Bill on Monday.
I'm on Wiggy's. Yeah? I like Wiggy's view on this. I think there's, you know, Wiggy's just, he's suspicious of everybody and everything, right? There's always a catch to it. But on this one, I kind of like it. So Bill, is all the interviews that he's done is going to be like, yeah, just leave us alone for a second as we catch up. Leave the room. Okay, but the cameras are on. Like, they don't know the cameras are on. Like, they don't know that they're still performing.
They did drip. They did sound differently.
I just said, it just smells, they it's did. Still awfully fishy.
But here's the one that got out.
How you doing?
And it's
doing good, man.
Okay, and it was something I think we all suspected, and that was they played like bleep.
Honesty?
For two-thirds of the year, but.
Yeah, so that kind of.
That's honesty.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
We played like bleep, S, whatever, poop, for two-thirds of the year.
Right. So what do you think he's saying today? About his offense.
Oh, man.
Because he's not doing it with us.
Well, how about when this guy said this, though? How about when remember Brady?
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
No, your coach does. He said it there with Nick Saban. Your coach thought you sucked for two-thirds of the season. And don't take it so literal, everybody. I heard the guys in the midday going, two-thirds? Actually, that's what, middle of the week, halftime of week 11? No, after Pittsburgh. We all know when it was. Yeah. Miami, Pittsburgh. They sucked.
After game 14.
That was it.
Yeah, he didn't.
Two-thirds. How about most of the year? Because then you count the playoffs, exactly. Right? So there's another two or three games in there. So, yeah, two-thirds of the year. So, Tom, it wasn't just everybody. Your coach thought you sucked. That's one of the great things I love about documentaries. Sometimes you have these emotions when you watch these opinions that you watch these games. And the Patriots are so good at just slapping down your opinions and making you feel like a bunch of freaking idiots. You don't know anything. And then documentaries come up and you say, ha-ha, you agreed with me.
That's exactly what I said.
He agreed with me. Right. Did you hear what Brady said about this offense and Tom versus Time? He agrees with me. Right?
Yes. And I'm sure Belichick is saying the same thing, because last year he never told us they sucked. We would ask the questions about what are they going to do.
We suck.
Right. What are you going to do? How are you going to do this? Your offense. And we ask the same questions every week about the offense and getting it going. And, you know, he keeps on talking and saying, but he's not telling us or the public that they suck.
Well, what did he do after this last game?
He had to look at it and
say,
oh, my God.
Love the effort. I mean, that was almost like an admission of, I know we don't have the talent,
right?
But the effort, I'm telling you, I love what I'm getting out of these guys.
But hold on, but see, that is fun, because that's usually camouflage, right? So that statement by coaches, parents, hey, your kids' team gets their butts kicked. Hey, you guys never quit. That's like, hey, you guys never quit. You guys keep fighting.
Kid goes on stage, awful voice, can't sing, worth the piss.
You kept trying.
And then afterwards, how'd it go? Showed a lot of courage to get up there.
Yes, thank you.
You look like you're having a lot of fun.
Yeah. A lot of courage, man. All the parents would laugh at you.
Yeah, most people would walk off the stage.
Yep,
guess what?
But not you. What made it really special is that you were so bad that you stayed up there the whole time and finished.
Yeah. Most guys, I tell you what, so that's
so
what it is.
I'm so proud of you.
There's so much camouflage to those statements, it's ridiculous. So, to your point, Glenn, what does he really think about this offense?
Not good.
This offense, he must be pulling his hair out.
Listen,
every single day. And to the point where every Monday I sit there, at least the past three or four Mondays, I sit there and go, wow, he's going to be in a bad mood. I think he's where you were on Monday, which is the green teamer version of acceptance, that, or call it the Newhouse effect. Hey, what are you going to do? This is who we are. This is as good as it's going to get. I've been banging my head against the wall trying to get them to play better, but they're just not very good.
But I love the documentaries, because when you get a little bit of that and the honesty, you make yourself like, huh. So here's the reality. The reality to me is that Tom Brady is not happy with the talent that Bill Belichick has put around him. I am convinced of that, and there'll be a documentary, and we'll find that out as well, because I don't know how the hell you, why would you think that? Tom loves Bill, whatever. No, he's not happy about it. He's pissed. He hates rookies. He hates every receiver on his team. He hates the new guy they got at the trade deadline. He was wrong. He wanted Sanu. He was wrong. Guy can't figure it out. And Bill thinks Tom is done. Bill thinks from Tom
that's what I thought of.
That's where we're at.
So because
I'm not dreaming things.
If he thought that he was close before he drafted Garoppolo, and then things went his way, and he really surprised everybody, what do you really feel that his interpretation or his opinion of Brady? Because I said, I go, wow, he's got good mobility
for a
42-year-old.
I don't think
when he plays against Deshaun Watson, all these other young quarterbacks that are running all over the place, he can run waggles and nakeds and bootleg plays, and the quarterback can actually sprint out faster than a slow, like you're stuck in mud. But wouldn't he love to have that?
Yeah, no, but it's right in front of our faces, and we just refuse to believe it.
Yes.
I'm not saying you should have signed Tom Brady to a 6-year extension this past winter. But he didn't want to sign him to a 2-year. Two. He won a Super Bowl. And he didn't want to say, he didn't have enough confidence that he would want Tom Brady to be his quarterback for 2 years?
So
not 4, 5, 6. 2. What does that tell you? Stop just trying to talk yourself into everything. Leave it alone. Leave it at that. The guy won a Super Bowl, and he didn't trust the fact that the guy could be there for 2 more years. Well, I don't know what more you want.
I'll go back to what you just said, Christian. I'm wondering if he's not looking at the league, and he's always been ahead of the curve when it comes to where the league is going. And there are many times he has kind of set the curve. And I'm wondering if he's not looking at the league saying, you know, everyone is using really mobile quarterbacks, guys that really can, and they're accurate throwers, but they're throwing on the run. So it's very difficult to defend against them, because even if you've got a great defense, they can still find separation because they can extend the play for such a long period of time. And then you look at the Patriots and you say, oh my God, the offensive line is beaten up. And you have no running backs that can really pick up on blitz coverage. And then on top of that, you don't have receivers other than Edelman that can get any daylight quickly. And Tom Brady is taking a pounding back there. And I'm wondering if he's not looking at that. We're never going to know until, you're right, Lou, until it actually happens. But you're wondering if he's not looking at the league, because he's usually ahead of this.
No, I'm with you.
And sitting in saying, maybe this is where it's going right now. Maybe this is where we need to go.
But
I don't know,
just, but
he doesn't have anybody.
That made me kind of like click, and I'm like, yeah, he sees it.
He was honest.
And then,
can I give you another one?
And I just go back to it. I know we're going to get this whole best buddies thing here in a minute, but like, really think about that. Like, I know we've talked about before. He said, well, he's a businessman. He doesn't want to be strapped with a dead cap hit, right? And that's why he doesn't want to give Tom Brady, you know, playing, you know, $25, $30 million for a quarterback that's not there because he's hurt. But man, we were talking about 2 years. Only 2 years. He could have given him. Like, so he fell off a little bit this year. Okay. And maybe he'll fall off a little bit next year. Okay. And then you're done.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to do that. Like enough. Like, strip it down to its simplest form.
So there's...
He doesn't want him.
There's something that... What's up? Oh, okay. We're going to take a break. There's something I want to get to, because in 2007...
Well,
there was an undefeated season. I always felt, I think a lot of people were talking about, I wasn't in radio, you were. I don't know if you guys were talking about how it almost felt like they should lose a game to get rid of the stress and the burden of continually winning games.
All right, we'll get to it, because he does talk about that. 617-779-7937, our phone number right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
You've had the one undefeated championship team, right?
One.
And all the rest of them, you lost a game. Right. And we had that in 07, you know, we're 18-0. And in retrospect, it might have been better for us had we lost one somewhere along the way, you know, to win at the end, because really it's so much about how you play at the end of the season more than it is at the beginning of the season. So as you hate to lose that game when you're 10-0 or 8-0 or 13, whatever it is, sometimes in retrospect, that's not a bad thing, because it can refocus a good team, you know, towards, okay, we're mortal and we have to do things right, as opposed to just thinking that's always going to... Just we're going to get a good bounce at the end somehow, and doesn't always work out that way.
That was Bill Belichick in retrospect, because I can tell you, back in 2007, there was a writer for the Boston Herald, and the name escapes me. I've been going crazy here during the break trying to remember it. Somebody will remember it and text it into us. But a writer in the Boston Herald, because it was fodder for sports talk radio for weeks. Because it was the first time this columnist had actually written something that was...
Was it Adam Kilgore?
People were talking about it. It was not. No. And I'll know the name once I hear it. But he wrote that the Patriots should go out and lose a game because it will put it in its place, and then they'll have to retool and make the run, and then they're going to win the Super Bowl.
I think that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know how to go out there and actually try to coach a team and try to lose a game. I don't understand. I would never be able to.
That's pretty much what I remember Bill saying that Monday of that column, because I remember we asked him the question about it, and he said the exact same thing. Oh, it's ridiculous. You think we're going to lose a game? And so at the time, he was as engaged as everybody else is. You keep on going out every single week, and you keep on winning football games one week at a time, and you win, and you win, and you win. So now he's looking at it as Bill Belichick, many moons later, 12 years later, and he's looking back at it in retrospect and saying, which is amazing, because people were talking about it at the time.
Was it Chris Letourneau?
It was not. I'm going to go through the story. Okay,
right. Let's just say you can't remember.
It was Michael Gee. Thank you very much to the Texters.
Wow.
Michael Gee wrote
impressive.
That story. Yes. The Texters, not me.
I mean, the whole.
He wrote it.
It is interesting with Bill saying it, right? Because once again, you know, like Bill actually thinks like us, like humans. Because people would sit there and say, obviously, you're never going to go out and lose a football game.
Right.
But if you did lose a football game, you know, like Bill said, and that's what Bill just said is the reason why people were talking about it in the first place. They should drop a game here week 13, week 14, and it would just sort of like, you know, punch him in the face. Hey, you're not that good. And like Bill said, can reset, refocus a very good team. That was the argument. And people get crapped all over left and right.
Yeah,
no one's ever saying you go into a game saying, all right, listen, today's the game we're going to lose, okay? Today's, because if you do that, it defeats the purpose.
They can't.
Because you realize you tried to lose on purpose, right? So if it just so happened that you lost the game in that final week, 2 weeks to whatever it was, to the New York Giants in the regular season, and you went to the Super Bowl with an opportunity to play the only team that beat you that year, I don't know. Is there a different outcome? Maybe not.
Who knows?
But Bill wonders the same thing.
Yeah, you're never
going to
know.
Last night.
Yeah, but I think he's doing it.
They would have had more, I guess, they would have been more well-rested, more mentally strong when they played the Giants. I personally don't feel like it would have made a difference. It's easy to look back on it and say, what could I have done differently? But the stress of it had been removed for the most part, and I don't think that had anything to do with why they, you know, they got beat in that Super Bowl. That's a crazy-ass Tyree catch that shouldn't have been.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was one of the most amazing catches you will ever see. Forget about in Super Bowl history, in NFL history.
But I like the fact that Bill's wondering the same thing.
Yeah, it's interesting.
He's
doing it now with the convenience of having all of these years to look back on it and now look at it from a distance. But in the moment, it's different.
How do you think you'd answer if we asked him every single one of these questions coming off of this show?
If we were to say to him, has your team sucked for the first two-thirds of this season?
Yeah. You thought last year your team was crappy for the first two-thirds. What do you think of your team now?
Why don't you try this out on Monday, Lou?
I think that's a good idea.
It's a good experiment. You should try it out Monday, right?
I found it interesting to think that year you went undefeated, you were wondering if it would have been beneficial if you lost a game during the year. Is that true?
I don't think I really saw it that way, Lou.
That's what you'd say. I don't remember saying that. Well, I can play the tape back, Bill, if you want.
Yeah, I don't know, Lou.
Well, how about this one? You sure you don't like? You sure you like Bill O'Brien?
Yeah, we'll do what's best for the football team.
All right, so let's look at that one.
You sure you still like Bill O'Brien?
So you asked the question
of
him
last night. Go ahead.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, you asked the question of him because you did not like the handshake at the end of the game.
Nope.
You're very caught up in the handshake.
Real quick,
at the end
did you see the one last week with Andy Reid?
I don't even remember.
He looked like a 7-year-old hugging Santa.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is Santa.
Didn't want to let go. Hold on to me, Andy. I love you. I thought he was a poor loser.
So you asked.
I thought he doesn't like shaking hands with anybody. He's a poor loser. But yet he gets Andy Reid, and he doesn't want to let go.
Yeah. He likes fat people with mustaches. Okay, what can I say? So here's the deal. You asked him the question about the brief handshake at the end of the game with him and Bill O'Brien.
So you guys, there was a lot went on this offseason with you guys in Houston regarding Nick Caserio. And I'm just wondering, does that play a role in your relationship with a guy like Billy O'Brien at all?
Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to go out and compete against the Texans. And unfortunately, we didn't do well enough, you know, last night to earn the victory. So we'll move on.
Yeah, because we overanalyze everything. So we see a handshake and think it was really quick or just cold and saying, oh, maybe that plays into it, what happened this offseason. But that didn't, or?
Sorry.
Not on my end.
All right, Kansas City this week.
Hold on. Right. You know what I love? I love it when Lou tries to follow up and be his buddy,
I have to.
And it doesn't work, and it just fails. So let's go back.
That was one of your better ones. I got to give you that one. I like that. Because here's a hold on. Wait, before you go. Because what people don't know is we talk about these questions, how we're going to do it. We almost role play it. And usually we always, when we're role playing, we kind of stop and go, what the hell are we doing? This is never going to happen. He's just going to crap all over it. This one actually, your theory, your philosophy behind it, I actually thought worked.
Yeah, because we overanalyze it.
You know, we're stupid that way.
We're idiots, Lou. We're idiots. So last night, what do you think?
So last night, he and Nick Saban are sitting there talking about what happens when one of your staff members leaves for another job, mm-hmm. and they try to take people from your staff. Listen to this.
What I have a tough time with, all right, is we've had however many guys that have worked here that are at Georgia, Tennessee, or whoever, wherever, is when they get those jobs, and in most cases, you help them, that they have a hard time understanding why they can't take your people. You know, I'm going to help you get a job so that you can take what I've tried to build here and destroy the continuity of what I have. And it's amazing how some of the assistants don't understand why that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm happy for the people that have worked hard for me to get opportunities. And I want to see them build their own program.
Right.
When they try to tear down our program, that's kind of where the line, I feel like, gets crossed.
Tear down our program.
So kind of Billy O'Brien kind of did that, taking Nick Caserio away from
him. My general manager.
Yep.
What was Easterby? It was more than a chaplain.
He was like a life coach. No, he was like a life coach, important. But people talked about how important he was to the organization.
How's he think about Flores taking Chad O'Shea? Didn't he take the quarterback coach too?
Yeah.
Szczepanski?
Yeah, I did.
Well, what about Josh McDaniels before he went to Indy?
That one is very interesting because Josh was taking like three, wasn't he?
Yes.
Judge was
Some
gone.
Some of them stayed there because they had already signed contracts.
But there was like three guys he was taking. Wasn't he from New England? Oh, no, Patricia was leaving at the same time.
Yeah, he's taking
two. Matt didn't
take
anybody.
Josh was going to leave.
Matt didn't take anybody.
No, but Josh was taking. I know Joe Judge he was going to take. Now, we don't know if he was going to use Judge as a special teams coach or if he was going to use him as a wide receivers coach slash offensive coordinator. I mean, Joe does a lot of things. Joe can do. He can multitask.
That's true. But only one thing is successful. Something's going to suffer.
So Josh was going to take coaches with him, which probably would piss off Bill, decided not to, and when he came back, you think Bill was like, oh, by the way, that is a BS move you tried to pull on me. Try to take my coat. Did he have these conversations? He obviously doesn't like it. I think that answers your question about Billy O. Sorry. He tried to take your freaking GM.
Boy, it is amazing.
Well, tear you down?
Yeah. No, there could have been something to it based on his when you ask him about the topic itself and the two of them go back and forth. It is amazing how similar the two guys
are.
It's amazing. Frightening.
But there was, that was like almost contentious the way it was going before the season started, how they blocked it, wouldn't let him interview. Nick Caserio, they've been constantly,
right?
Filed a grievance, the Texans had to release a statement apologizing the crafts. They were, nobody was happy. I tell you what, though, he's got a great point, though. So I develop all these guys, I find them, I put the time in to develop them and teach them how to be good coaches. And then soon as I do that, I have some other offensive coordinator stealing them, and now I got to do it all over again.
I know it's a legitimate point.
I would sit there and be like, dude, develop your own coaches.
Now, I would say this. I would say that, I don't know the situations with a lot of these other coaches, whether it was Chad O'Shea or who was going to go with Josh or who went with, Billy, what he tried to do. But I think it would be different, wouldn't it, if whether Bill lets his coach get to this point to where their contract is up. And, if Chad O'Shea's contract was up and Flores left, you get pissed off at that? But, I mean, in the case of Nick Caserio, his contract wasn't up. I mean, when you're trying to pull a coach or a general manager who is currently under contract on my staff, part of my organization, while he's still under contract with me, I could totally understand why.
Well, not only that, Lou, but you're so deep into the process already. They're so far ahead. They were well into the 2020 draft at that point. So they're already well ahead of where they're going. And suddenly you're going to lose a guy who's been keeping tabs on all the personnel that you're trying to keep your eyes on out there. I can get it. But you know, if it's a guy that's a quarterback coach and he has an opportunity to go with somebody to be the offensive coordinator, if you're not going to give him the offensive coordinator job and upgrade him, I don't think that is a problem. Do you?
If the guy's
a quarterback coach and he's going to a coordinator, he's upgrading.
I think it's all on how you handle it, how you go about it, right? I mean, because if I have a position coach, because the coordinators usually leave, so the next natural progression would be quarterback coach, position coach to the OC. So I'm prepping you, and if you look at all of Bill's. Really all of his coaches, they all started off at the bottom. You can go pick any coach you want.
Talk to
Matt Patricia,
that.
Josh McDaniels, all of them. Brian Flores, they all started off as peons, low level. Nick Caserio picked me up from the airport in 2001.
How did he do driving?
He was a terrible driver.
So good thing he's doing what he's doing right now.
And remember, all these guys, he's prepping them. He's grooming them. And I guess it's just a conveyor belt, because eventually, if you're going to be successful, people are going to want your coaches.
Well, I thought it was interesting. Again, the two guys, so similar. I mean, they're geniuses at what they do. They certainly are sticklers to little detail. They can be really tough to play for. As you saw a lot of video with them screaming at players. But the one I thought was interesting is the one you just brought up. So
Which
years
one?
Ago, you may remember this, Lou. We used to have arguments where people would say, why doesn't Belichick bring in this defensive coordinator, some guy who's successful at some other program? Why doesn't he bring this offensive coordinator in? And you heard it last night. Both guys talked about they want to develop their own guys. It is their system. They're going to bring their own people up to the system. They're not going to bring in a coordinator who's going to bring his system, which most teams do. Most teams go out and get a coordinator from another system because
they've got 100 people here that speak the same language. I'm not going to have them all change it up for you.
Yeah.
You're going to change it up for them.
Right.
Well, the one thing I thought was interesting.
And coach them yourself.
Was at the combine, the pro day, rather.
Yeah, they both rolled their eyes on that.
At the pro day, when Bill just sort of looked at Nick and said, who's the best player here? You know what I mean? Like,
it's pretty simple.
Who's the best player here? And I think he said, I forget, Williams, and he said our DNs.
And our DNs, yeah.
Which made me think, and I went back and looked, and I'm surprised he doesn't grab more kids from Alabama. Like a Hightower, obviously.
Yeah.
Cyrus Jones, I would walk up to Nick and I would punch him in
the
face.
Yeah, you screwed me on that one.
Didn't work out so well.
Right? And then Damian Harris.
Yeah.
And then I was looking, too, because it was, I go back to, let's see, I think it was in 2002. He was at LSU. Jarvis Green, Rohan Davey, Bill drafted. And then came back a couple years later and got Marquise Hill, defensive end. But I would think, with that conversation, you know, Nick, or Bill, listen, man. They got this guy projected in the fourth. I'm telling you. This kid can play.
Yeah, but isn't that interesting that you bring up the failures of the Alabama players that Bill has drafted, including we're trying to figure out what the hell's going on with Damian Harris. And somebody asked a question about him again today at the press conference. But it was interesting that Nick Saban talked about how there are no other coaches. I think he said one other coach who actually asked him about players.
How about
and
that?
He says he's specific about it. He'll sit there and rave about a guy and then say, and, which is a positive sign, or he'll rave about a guy and say, but. And when he says, but, that means you don't take the guy. So I guess we're to believe that Nick Saban is telling him positive things and about each one of these Alabama guys, right?
Yeah, it is strange, right? Because you're sitting there and you're thinking of drafting. I mean, let's face it, there's some good players that come out of Alabama. And there's only one other coach in the league that actually calls him up and says, hey, we're thinking about taking your kid in the first round, second round.
What
can you tell me about him? With all the stuff they do at the combine, the interview process, all these, they don't interview the coach. A guy like Nick Saban?
Who are you interviewing to find out what the player is about? What his practice habits are? What he does every day? What he does off the field?
Well, I mean, for N'Keal Harry, Bill never talked to Herm Edwards.
He never did.
Never talked to Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards was on the show, morning show, before it switched over, and they never talked to him, which I thought
Does Bill not trust Herm Edwards?
Well, I mean,
is he afraid that Herm Edwards is going
to
sit?
Maybe he would lie to him.
You play to win.
Yeah,
he plays
that to me was.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the Patriots are interested because Bill just called me the other day. They really like this kid. You know, is Bill afraid of that? Is it because Nick's the only guy he really trusts? Or maybe,
well,
I mean, there's others.
That's definitely the case.
You know?
And I think you would get the most honest assessment, and those two guys think alike, so the language is the same. There's nothing's going to get changed by the fact that when they're describing a player, what his strengths are, what his weaknesses are, that's all. They're all on the same page. So it's easy for him to talk about players because, hey, even the part where, you know, when they all left and they were talking about, hey, what type of defense are you running? You running a 3-4? What are you doing with your ends? Are you kind of doing this? Are you doing that? Oh, this guy would be perfect for that. This guy would be perfect for this one. This guy's multiple. This guy, you need 3 years and he'll be good.
Yeah, and they both talked about, again, where they're so similar. You take a guy, you take his strengths, you play to his strengths, you don't try to ask him to do something. He could be a great player, but you're asking him to do something he simply can't do, and you don't put the player in that position. I mean, that part of it I thought was interesting, that they have the same approach.
I was surprised, too, because I could see Bill having more success with that than Nick. You know, if you're Belichick, you got, you know, college tape, maybe a player, we've seen this, player goes somewhere else for 2 or 3 years. He continues to watch the player and says he's used differently. With Saban, you're talking about an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
A 19-year-old kid. And it's like, I'm already, this is all he can do? There's no upside? Is this who he is? You know, in pro ball, if this is who he is, this is who Kyle Van Noy is, or whatever, Landon Roberts, this is who they are when I go out and get him. What's the kid, Simon? This is who they are, Ninkovich. So I know how to use them. Nick is sitting there looking at a 19-year-old kid, 20-year-old kid, saying, I'm not so sure yet.
Well, didn't he have the kid, Jalen Hurts, who he replaced with Tua in the middle of that game?
Yep.
And Hurts ended up transferring, right?
Well, no, Jalen was the starter. And then he lost his job to Tua.
In the middle of the game.
And then Tua got hurt in the middle of the game. Yeah. And then Jalen came back in. And then Jalen left because he had already graduated. And he wasn't going to get the job from Tua.
Right.
So, and now Tua, he has a horrific injury. Yeah. Who knows how the hell or what he'll be soon.
He may slip in the draft. Bill might get one of those.
Value.
Positive stuff. And then at the end. You may get an and at the end.
Value.
Yeah.
And he's a lefty, too.
He's a lefty, too. Right,
he's not a punter.
This hour's been brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. We're back to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. Are the Red Sox about to do something big? And then we get to Teddy Bruschi coming up at 4:30.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.